Okay, good morning. We continue our study of Sha'ara Mitzvah, coffee and donuts. It is a Aseres Yemei Tshuva in which we have a stringency to only eat Pas Yisrael. Donuts is a machlokas. There's a debate because donuts are fried, whether they qualify or need to be Pas Yisrael. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. And if your custom is to eat them, enjoy the donuts. Everybody agrees you can have, maybe should have coffee during Slichos, during this season of the year. Okay, we last left off the Sha'ara Mitzvah. Rav Pinkus has been talking about the notion that our davening, our prayer experience, is directly proportional to the amount of preparation that we put in, to the amount of planning, to the amount of getting ready. And he talks about the fact that on the Yomim Noraim, almost everybody has a more elevated, a more enriched davening experience. V'zevada shekdushas hayom goremes leilu b'madrigas ha'tfilah ulesiyata d'shmaya. He says, certainly we merit more divine assistance, more divine providence this time of the year. We are in a more greater mindset. We're more predisposed to feeling spiritual, to nurturing and nourishing our soul. But there's also something much more basic and natural that can explain it. He posits that the truth is, every thoughtful Jew is really getting ready for Rosh Hashanah davening, Yom Kippur davening, the entire year. That doesn't mean that you're machzer. I happen to be a Yom Noraim Jew. Drives my wife crazy. I sing Yom Noraim tunes the whole year long. I love this season. I find it a very powerful season. But he's not saying that you have your machzer out and that you're singing chamol at the Shabbos table every week and Ein Kitzvah banging on the table. It doesn't mean you're getting ready for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, literally. What he means is, Hageba atzmacha, kama pa'anam b'meshach Hashanah nizdamin lo lachshov, hinei kesheyavo Rosh Hashanah, harei yom ayom v'norahu esakach v'kach, v'espalakach v'kach. We excuse ourselves when we are struggling to connect on an average day of the year. Maybe we're struggling to observe. We're struggling to show up. In the back of our mind, whether consciously or subconsciously, we say, you know what? Rosh Hashanah time, I'm going to turn it on. That's when I'm going to get going again. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Elul, Slichos, Aseres Yemei Tshuva. We again, whether it's in the front of our mind or the back of our mind. And then Elul comes, and even if in Elul, you're slacking. In Elul, you're not really davening all that you can. There's something haunting about the melody. You could be struggling to get it going all Elul, Slichos night, that Kaddish. All of a sudden you're brought back to another place. The image of parents, grandparents, of the righteous people. The feeling that you've had on another Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You're transported to a Ne'ila that transformed you and that you wished you could hold on to. So what happens? Because of that, you've been transported to another place. The images, the experience, the sights, the sounds, you now are getting ready. Again, even if you're not sitting in the middle of the day at work with your machzer, studying it, learning it, reading its translation, checking off sections of it, but in the back of your mind, those melodies, those tunes have taken you to a place that you know this is it. This is the time of the year. This is it. Somebody who went on a long journey, who took a long travel, and arrives on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Somebody who this week shows up Friday, Erev Yom Kippur. You show up minutes before the holiday. Your head is all distracted. It's all mixed up. You're exhausted. You just traveled. If you were feeling that way any other day of the year, and it was time to daven Maariv, you came back from Israel, 14-hour flight, 3 stops, crammed in the middle seat. They forgot to order your kosher meal. You come back to Boca, you're exhausted, you're tired, you're hungry. That Maariv is not the Maariv to write home about. You basically don't even remember if you said that Maariv, you get it done, and you collapse in bed. But let's say you arrive on Erev Rosh Hashanah in that same way, with those same feelings. Even if you're exhausted, physically, emotionally, spiritually, miskabru ka'arila espala b'chavana gedola be'imo b'yira. You find a way. Every year before Ne'ilah, I give that story, that speech. Come on, we're exhausted. It's time to leave it all out on the field. We're tired. Our breath stinks. We're hungry. We're dehydrated. But you know what? We've got minutes to go. Leave it all out on the field. This is it. This is it. And we find that capacity. The walls of this room, of this Rand sanctuary, they shake, they rock, with Shemi leading us in davening, the singing, the clapping, afterwards, the dancing. Minutes before Ne'ilah, you're sitting there, you're krechzing. Minutes before Ne'ilah, you talk about how hungry, how tired, what a long day, why isn't it over, when will it be over? By the end of Ne'ilah, you don't want to stop dancing. Where'd that energy come from? Where did it come from? Where did that feeling come from?
You're looking to eat.
You're dancing because you could eat. Okay, maybe some are dancing because they could eat. But some feel like they never need to eat again. Some feel like, you know what, I'm a soul that has a body. I'm not a body that has a soul. You know, Rav Nachman of Breslov used to describe, he can't wait that at the end of his life, not that he was looking forward to death, but he would say, I can't wait at the end of life to undress myself of this body. The same way, you know, I wear a suit all day long. I practically sleep in a suit. I can't wait to take the tie off, to take off suit off. You can't wait. You can't wait. I always say the doctors with the scrubs, they don't have anything more comfortable to change into at the end of the day. That's the problem with wearing scrubs. But we, you take off the suit, you can't wait. From Nachman, his neshama, his soul, being constrained and constricted, having to wear a body, was holding him back. He was longing for the time that he could undress, he can disrobe from the body. So Ne'ilah, we don't have a body, we're a soul. We are a soul. We don't have to eat, we don't have to drink, we don't need the physical pleasures of this world. We're just a soul on fire. 10 minutes before Ne'ilah, our body was on fire. I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm thirsty, I'm dying, I need a shower, I need a mouthwash. And now 10 minutes after Ne'ilah, we're still dancing. We don't have any needs. We have no appetite. Where does that come from? And the answer is because we rise to the occasion. We've had this image. We've been there before with Ne'ilah. We know that we are a soul that has a body, not a body that has a soul. We know what we're capable of. We know we're on fire. So we've been preparing all year for Ne'ilah. Not consciously, not on the surface, but internally, subconsciously, all year we've been waiting to get back to the end of Ne'ilah. And when it arrives, we arrive. We show up for it. Says Rav Pinkus, this is an example of what it means to have the image of powerful tefillah. This is an example of what it means to prepare. Imagine if every day you walked into Shacharis, you were able to tap into the memory and the feeling of the Hashemu Elokim at the end of Ne'ilah. Could your davening be the same? Would you be late and it would be rushed and you'd be distracted and you'd be checking your phone and you'd be schmoozing with the person next to you? It couldn't be. Couldn't be. You could get ready. When you stand up, if we understood what was at stake and where we were and what we could accomplish, we would never neglect or throw away and miss this opportunity. Take advantage. We'd be in the moment. We'd be connected. Now, granted, it's hard to do every day. It's hard to do 3 times a day. It's very, very, very difficult. But we're capable of doing it more than once a year on Ne'ilah. If we can draw from the Ne'ilah, and we can apply the Ne'ilah, we can achieve it much more often. I told the story on Shabbat Shuvah about a few summers ago when my family went on a tour of the West Wing. I may have shared this before in this context. And we passed by the Situation Room. Outside there's a box with little, like cubby, little compartments. Thank you, Noam. And I asked the guide, what's that for? He said, that's where you put your cell phone before you go in the Situation Room. I said, who puts their phone? He said, everybody. He said, everybody? This was the previous administration. Yeah, the president, vice president. You cannot go in the Situation Room with a cell phone. When you're in the Situation Room, you're in the Situation Room. And it struck me right then and there. This is our Situation Room. Where else do we go if there's a crisis? Where else do we go when we've got to hunker down? Where else do we go when we have a sense of urgency and emergency? This is our situation room. You can't bring the cell phone and the distractions and the talking. This is our situation room, particularly as we are coming now up to Yom Kippur, that we all have an amazing Yom Kippur. It's not so easy. I'm not saying everyone does. But the day takes care of it. The setting, the atmosphere, the kittel, the chazan, the melodies, it puts us in the mood. My bracha to us is not just that we rise to the occasion of Yom Kippur culminating in Ne'ilah, but that we can capture that Ne'ilah and carry it with us the whole year. That we could take the Ne'ilah, the image, the sights, the sounds, the memory, that we've been there before, and that we can get there on a more often basis throughout the year. A gemara chasima tova.